Good evening. Well, I didn't think I'd be $20 richer when I get off here. He didn't tell me what I could do with the gift, so I thought I felt kind of bad for other people that didn't get it. So I have a little New Testament in my pocket. So I'm going to put this in the New Testament so that if anyone wants this gift, I'm going to give it away. You get even more value than the $20. And I'm not going to ask for it back. It's a gift. But my brother, I'm not going to let you grab it, though. I'm going to give it to you with my hand. But the illustration falls short because you know what? When God offers a gift, anybody can come up and get it. And God has more to offer. It's for everybody. Now, my brother could have done that. He could have got enough $20 bills for everybody here. But he didn't. Anyway, we're not judging him for that. So, this is here. For whoever will get it. There you go, Micah. Yeah. Enjoy. Okay, we're going to read in Proverbs 16 and verse 25. And I'm thinking tonight of a map. So I'm thinking of the map that's behind me. And it's made to illustrate the truth in the Bible. So the first place we're going to read, as I mentioned, is Proverbs 16, verse 25. Proverbs is right in the middle of the Bible. It's right after Psalms, and it's before Ecclesiastes. I think I got that right. I think Ecclesiastes is the next book. Yeah. So it says here, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now listen carefully, I'm going to read it again. There is a way. You could take way and change it into road. It's the same idea, same word in the Bible. There is a road, or there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So just because you feel like you're okay in God's presence, and you're okay as far as your life, doesn't mean you are okay. Because it says here, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We're going to read two verses in Matthew chapter 7. And these are verses that are on our chart, Matthew 7 and 13, and Matthew 7 and 14. So Matthew 7, verse 13, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It's after Malachi, and it's before Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So here, Matthew 7, verse 13, some of you might have heard of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes. Well, this is in the same sermon. The Lord Jesus stood on a mountain beside the Sea of Galilee, and he preached to multitudes of people. Not just one crowd, but crowds. Great crowds that followed him from all over his country. And he was preaching to them. So here it is. Let's read it. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, that word enter means it's something that you do once. It happens once. It's something that you need to do. It's an action that you need to perform. It's not something that happens to you or that someone else can do for you. It's something that you need to do yourself at some point in your life. It says, enter ye, or enter you in at the straight gate. Straight just means narrow or difficult. Because it says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, we might talk about that later, but we'll move on to Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. This is not on the chart, but it's connected, very closely connected. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Luke 13 and verse 24. This doesn't tell us just to enter in, it tells us how to enter. It says here, strive. And that's a word that means to work very hard. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. See that that straight gate? Right here, he says, strive, make every effort to enter into that. For many will seek to enter in and will not be able. Maybe it's talking about people who already passed their opportunity, or it's talking about people here in life who would like to, but they're not willing to give up something to go in. That's a question you have to ask yourself. Am I willing to give up anything to enter that gate, enter that door? Now, one more. In the next book, John chapter 10 and verse 9. And this is also on the chart. John chapter 10 and verse 9. It's right up here on the door. So you'll be able to remember that. John 10 verse 9. We're breaking into, we talked about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Then in Luke, it was the Lord Jesus speaking as well. And in John, it's also the Lord Jesus speaking in a longer sermon. So he says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's about the Lord Jesus really being the shepherd. And the sheep enter in through the door, and they find protection from the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd. And then as they go in and out of that fold, they're with the good shepherd, and he protects them and leads them and feeds them. And he's their shepherd forever. So, I thought about this map, okay? This is a map. You could call it a road map, although there's no cars. It's just walking. And as we read the verses in the Bible, so it's a biblical map. Because the Lord Jesus used that imagery of the map. I was thinking there's two reasons why a person picks up a map. Okay? One reason you pick up a map is if you're planning a trip. So, the odd time I've planned a trip. I remember I've been to the Philippines a few times. And of course, before I went there, I wanted to look at the map and see where I was going. I was trusting somebody else to guide me most of the time, but I still wanted to know where I was going. I was planning my trip, so I looked at the map. If you're planning a trip, and we're all journeying to eternity, we're all going to eternity, to the beyond, we should be planning our trip. So where is your desired destination if you're planning a trip? Well, I would like to go there. I do not want to go here. But both of these are destinations. Anyway, we'll talk more about that in a second. The second reason why you would look at a map is if you're lost. And men, you know, we don't like to ask for directions, they say. I guess. My wife says that anyway. But I would rather look at a map and find my own way than ask someone else. Because then I would feel good about myself. I read the map and I got there. So even in the age of GPSs, I still pull out a map just because I like to do it. And it's good for you to pull out a map. And if you remember some of the roads, it'll be better for you the next time. You pull out a map when you're lost. Do you know, that every person in this meeting is either saved or lost. We could go to numerous verses in the Bible to prove that. It says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, is come. He came into the world as a baby, and he grew up, and he died on the cross, and he rose again, and he went back to heaven. He came to seek, to look for, and to save that which was lost. Every person, until they're saved, they're lost. We are on this map somewhere, but if you don't know where you're at, you're lost. I know where I'm at, because I know that I was on this road, but on November the 28th, 2010, I entered through this door, and I'm now on this road. I don't know where I'm at on this road. I could be here, or I could be here. But I do know that I'm on this road because I entered through the door. And when I was on this road, I found out that I was on this road. And I found out where I was headed. So we talked about that. Two reasons why you would look at a map. There's two destinations on this map, as we talked about. Heaven and hell. We'll just mention those for a few minutes. These places are both prepared. The Bible tells us that heaven, the Lord Jesus says in John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He said, that place that I'm going to prepare for you is my Father's house. And he says, there's room for all of you in my Father's house. I can make room for all of you. But the lake of fire is also a prepared place. It tells us in Matthew chapter 25. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. The first beings in this universe that rebelled against God, God prepared this place of punishment for them. But you know, the devil came into the world and he persuaded men to follow him. So anyone who follows him, who obeys him, is also headed to this place. Heaven is a place for people who are saved. It says in heaven people wear white robes, and their robes are white, their clothes are white, not dirty with sin, because they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Heaven is a place for people who are saved, who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the lake of fire is a place, it says in Revelation 21, verse 8, it says there, the fearful, the cowardly, and the unbelieving, those who will not believe God, and the abominable, the sorcerers, the fornicators, the adulterers, the idolaters are there, but it says all liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You know, maybe there's a lot of kids here tonight. I remember when I was a kid, I told lies and I knew it. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. A lie is very serious to God. God cannot tell lies. It's impossible for God to lie. And humans who are made in the image of God, for us to go against God's character in a way as to tell a lie, it's so hateful, it's obnoxious to God. See, we think we tell lies just to try to make people feel better and to try to get ourselves out of a tight spot. But no, it's a sin in God's sight. So all the people that are there, the unbelieving, but all liars. You say, are there not liars in heaven? Yes, there are. But they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They confessed and they repented of their lies and they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. for salvation. They took God's gift, that gift that my brother Marcus was talking about. God is holding out a gift of salvation, forgiveness for all your sins through Jesus Christ. And anyone who will come to God and take that gift from God is going to be in heaven. They're not going there. So the two destinations on this map. But I want to think about now, we'll come back to the journey. And maybe we'll come back to the grave and hell. See, that's part of the journey to the lake of fire. See, well, everyone is in the grave, whether they're going to heaven or hell, if they died. But I want to think about some people that we see in graves in the Bible. There was a little boy, David's son. If you read the story, it seems like he died when he was 7 days old. 7 days old. He's in the grave. 7 day old. That's pretty young, isn't it? That's a lot younger than anyone that's here tonight. There's no one that's too young to die. But then there was an older man in Genesis 25. Abraham, it says he was old and full of days. He's in the grave. He had a long life. He saw his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren probably, I think, and just on down the line. But it's not always old men that die. Sometimes young men die. There's a mother in Genesis 35 who died in childbirth. It says that she was bearing a son. She called him Benoni. And then it says her soul was departing, for she died. And her father said, I don't want to name that son Benoni, I want to name him Benjamin. But in any case, she died, a mother giving birth, and she was buried in Bethlehem. Rachel, she's in the grave. There was another man I read about today, Ahaziah. And he had a son that was 1 year old. And he died. A father with a young family. Yeah, it happens. Happens in our day too, doesn't it? We go to the grave sometimes for older people, sometimes for younger. The body goes here. But remember it said, when I was talking about Rachel, her soul was departing. So her body was dying. And there was a point when her soul that was inside that body, or with that body, it left the body. Where does the soul go? Well, the Bible would teach us that the soul either goes to heaven or hell when the body dies. So, what about heaven? There was a man who was hanging on the cross next to Jesus, and we don't know his name, but we know he was a criminal, a thief, and he was starting to feel sorry for his sin. And he started to realize that I am a guilty sinner, and I haven't done right, and I'm getting what I deserve, dying by crucifixion, that cruel death. And he turns to the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, he says, I know from the title above the cross, the King of the Jews, that you are the King. And someday you're going to have a kingdom. He says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And you know, the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, he even loved that man beside him while he was suffering on the cross. And he said, listen, verily I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, in a few hours, that thief died, that criminal died, and the same day, as soon as his body died, they didn't even put his body in a grave. They probably put his body in a place where it burnt or put it in a pile because he was a criminal. They didn't allow them to bury his body nicely. But before they laid his body in a grave or somewhere, his soul went to paradise. Paradise is another name for heaven. But then there's another story in Luke 16. And there's a rich man who had lots to eat every day. He had a feast. He lived like a king every day. I was invited to a birthday party yesterday at Adès, and she knows a lot of people, so they killed two pigs on Friday night, and believe me, they had lots of food yesterday. I had a little taste of it on Friday night when I was there. And that's a big thing, you know, for people from the Philippines, the birthday, and it would be a curse if you ran out of food. So instead of just trying to figure out how many people are coming, you just make way too much and then try to give it away as people are leaving. But this man, he lived like that every day. Lots of food, no shortage, anything you wanted to eat. But then it says the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So his body was being buried. They had a wonderful funeral for him. He was a rich man. He had five brothers on earth, big family. Maybe they said nice things at his funeral. But the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Yeah, all these things happened at death, didn't they? So, this verse here, we didn't read it. This verse here says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. If you didn't catch that, I'm going to say it again. As it is appointed unto men once to die. We only get one crack at it. One crack at the can. If we mess it up in this life, not some people in the world think that you get another chance in the next life. Not according to the Bible. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. See, some people think that all the punishment for your bad things you do is on earth. And it's true, you suffer for things on earth. We suffer the consequences of our bad actions and our bad choices. But the judgment for sin from God really comes after death. Remember, we're on a journey. We talked about the destinations. Talked about the map. Talked about why we would want to look at a map. We're going on a journey. Or we're lost. Which is true. There's people in this meeting who are lost. I'm sure of it. And there's people in this meeting. Every one of us. Who are going on a journey. So let's come back to here. There's two rows. So he says. The Lord Jesus says. Matthew 7 verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate. It's a narrow door. You know, when you go through that door, you got to go in by yourself. By yourself. You can't take your boyfriend with you or your girlfriend. You can't take your parents or your children. You can't take your friends. Every person goes in by themselves. It's a narrow door. But also, you can't take your religion with you. You can't take all the things that you believe. You can't take your sin with you through the door. There's many things that you can't take. It's a narrow door. You go in by yourself as a lost sinner. Enter in at the straight gate. And then he says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. There's lots of room. That broad way, he says, leads to destruction. That's a bad word, isn't it? Destruction. People who go on this road, they are destroyed or they perish. They perish in hell and the lake of fire. The broad way, it says, he says in Matthew 7 verse 13, many there be which go in thereat. That's why there's many people on this road. There's many people going down. You can practice what you want. You can believe what you want.
You can have what friends you want. You can follow any religion you want on this road. It's your choice. But you don't remember. It ends here. And then he says, because straight is the gate. The gate or the door is narrow and difficult. Narrow or difficult is the way that leads to life. It leads to life.
Which is easier? The kids here could tell me, which is easier, walking downhill or uphill? It's obvious, right? Walking downhill is so much easier than walking uphill. But remember, if you're going down, you're going down. It might be easy, but you're in a downward slope.
This road is up, and it's difficult. It's not only difficult because it's up.
It's difficult because a lot of times you're alone.
See, a lot of people that you meet when you're on that road,
the people that you meet at work, some of your family members, they don't see things the way you do. And they make it hard for you. It can be difficult.
But really, would you rather have an easy life and end up here after the judgment? Or would you rather have a little more difficult life? Might seem more difficult, but really it's not. And end up here. Okay.
My time is gone, but
I wanted to talk about this road. And if you found out you're on this road, you should ask yourself, which road are you on? If you found out that you're on this road, well, ask yourself, how many ways are there to get off this road? Well, there's two ways, right? One of them is death, but that's not really helpful. It's just to go to hell in the lake of fire. The other one is this door.
So we read John 10, verse 9. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Lord Jesus is saying, just trust me, come to me, and allow me to take you to heaven. That's what he's saying. I can take you there. There's another verse.
John 1, verse 29. And anybody who's on this road and they look up,
there's a finger pointing from heaven saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
The Lord Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. And anyone who will trust him, who will look to him, will be saved and will enter through this door and go on their way up.
I don't have time to talk about the other things of the chart, but I do have something to say in conclusion. Find out where you are in this map, if you haven't already, and don't stop until you get through that door and are on your way to heaven. Remember the verse we read, Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. I do have to warn you from Scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's another verse too I thought of. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our Lord Jesus and for how plain the Bible is about where we are at and where we are going and how we can be saved. We pray for all the sinners here in this meeting tonight. We're all sinners, but some of us are saved. We pray that they would be saved, would not rest until they find salvation in Christ. We think of the shipment that's going up to Pond Inlet, to Steve and Heidi. We pray that all that would go as planned. We pray for all of us saints that we would be encouraged tonight as we think about the great salvation we have in Christ. We ask for blessing upon your word and any other place it is spoken tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.